Look at 1 Peter chapter number 1. We'll continue on through this. We'll look at verses 10, 11, 12. And we're looking here at a section of Scripture where it talks about the prophets and the prophets had been told and prophesied about the grace that should come. And we've been preaching through this book and we'll continue to. We're not too far into it, but we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 1. As you find your place there, you look at verse number 10. The Bible says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and search diligently," I'm at verse number 10, "who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have prepared the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." Well, there's a lot of words in there, and sometimes if you're not careful, it just kind of gets all jumbled around. But we see that in this passage, the prophets, as they told and they foretold what was going to happen, they could see a glimpse of what was on the horizon, but not knowing all that was in there, because you remember, people say, "Well, I don't even know how Jeremiah knew what he was writing." Well, truth is, he didn't. He understood part of it, I'm sure, but there's other parts that it would have been a mystery to him, and I trust that it'll be more clear to us as we get finished tonight. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Give us these next moments, dear Lord, for let your word look into us as we look into it, and I pray that you would bless it to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. According to the U.S. News and World Reports, if you had invested $10,000 in Apple stock in 2003, you'd be a multimillionaire by last year. If only I'd told you earlier. Or if you just had an extra $10,000 and it was on a good track anyways. But there's different folks that say, "Oh boy, if I'd have only known to invest in something when it was a startup company." And it certainly wasn't a startup company in 2003, but it has multiplied many times. But many times people will say, "If I'd have only known, I could have put a little bit of money in that." But you didn't know. You know, there's a lot of other companies that if you'd put a little bit of money, you'd have lost all of it. So you can't be too hard on yourself, because for everyone that turned out to be a great success, there was lots of them that turned out to be failures. So it just is what it is. But many people are trying to foretell what's going to go on. They'll say, "Well, I want to invest. I want to do this." And they'll look at the market. And we're looking, though, tonight at something much more important about whether you retire a multimillionaire or whether you got to get a job down here somewhere helping somebody out for customer service just to make the bills. We're looking at the gospel. We're looking at the prophecies. We're looking at the things that God had given. And so I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 10, as we preach our way through this passage, I want you to see that the prophets told. Says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied." Prophecy means that they foretold. Some people say, "Oh, there's a prophet down at such church," and there's no prophets in the idea of biblical prophets, because those first folks were telling ahead of time. Now, there are people who are telling forth the word of God. That's being done today. It's being done tonight. They're forth telling the word of God, but there's nobody foretelling except what's already been written. If you say, "I know what's going to happen in the future," I do too, but not because I came up with it, but because it's already written in the word. And anytime you have somebody says, "Well, I know this and I know this," if it's not found in the scriptures, then you know that you've got a false prophet on your hands. You've got a heretic. But we see that the prophets told here, and we may wonder, how did those prophets know what was going on? How did they know what they were writing? Or how could they not have known what they were writing? Isaiah, when it talks about the virgin shall conceive and it talked about the different things about the Lord Jesus, you say, how did they not get a better picture of what was going on? Well, we'll take you closer to more recent history than that. Back in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 6 through 8, you see that the disciples are still looking to find out who Jesus is. Let me read this to you. Acts chapter 1, the Bible says, in verse number 6, "When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." And so then it goes on to say, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." So the disciples, they weren't even too sure even at that time when Jesus was in their presence again. So we need not be too hard on the prophets that lived some hundreds of years before. And so the prophets told, they didn't know all that they told, but they knew that there were some things coming. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I saw somebody was online, but I saw someone, they were making this drawing, and they were doing it at a basketball game, I think it was. And the person had this board that flipped over, and he was drawing, and he was painting with some brushes, I should say, not drawing, but painting all this. He was doing it in a rapid fashion. And then at the end of his presentation, I guess at halftime or something, he turned it over and maybe made one more swipe with his multi-brush paintbrush, and then it turned out to be a group of soldiers with a flag, and that was all right there. He was doing it right in front of everybody's eyes, but they didn't notice it. Sometimes for years they used to do it in churches. They would have a chalk artist come and he'd put up an easel with a big chalkboard. He would do it while preaching, teaching. He would just make different marks on there. And before the presentation was done, he had the picture that they was going to illustrate whatever he was teaching on. So I'm thinking about that with these prophets. They knew part of what was going on, but they wouldn't have known all of what was going on. When you look back in Zechariah, the Bible says, verse number 4 of chapter 14, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 7, says he was oppressed. In verse number 8, he was taken from prison. In verse number 9, he had his grave with the wicked. And so we see those little glimpses that these prophets had. It says in that verse, if you look back at verse number 10, that they searched diligently. Search diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Search diligently. How do you think Isaiah felt when he got to heaven? I imagine he thought, that's how all that fit together. I know that when we get to heaven, we'll say, oh, that's how those things work. But even those human instrumentation that God used back in the prophetic days, and he would have said, oh, wow, I see it now. But I see that the prophets foretold, they told in verse number 10, but then look in verse number 11, they truly were limited on what they could see, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand, this was ahead of time, the sufferings of Christ and unto the glory that should follow. As I mentioned in Isaiah, it talks about the suffering Savior that was going to come, and it talked about that virgin birth in another passage, and then it talks about that suffering Savior, and then it talked about in Zechariah, his feet standing on the Mount of Olives. And so the best description I could have of these Old Testament prophets as they look through the New Testament, and then they look past even us into future events, they were foretelling things that haven't happened yet, they were still yet to happen in our life. And the best description I could find was some commentators said it like this, that they looked back from where they were, God giving them inspiration as they wrote, and they said they could see through their writings two mountaintops, Calvary and the Mount of Olives, when Christ returns, not in the rapture, but when he returns, sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. But they couldn't see most likely in between. It was a little bit of dinginess to it, or a little bit of frostiness. They just couldn't see it all. It'd be about like if you're a hunter, when you get out there, you try to get that spot that you want to be when day breaks. So that means you got to get there before daybreak. And then when you're sitting there and you're trying to stay awake, you're sitting there and things are starting to become clear, but you're not clear to where everything is. I was out in our backyard the other night, and that little dog of ours, you got to watch her too. And sometimes she'll run in the place where the street lights shine. I can see her good. Then other times I can't, which is bad because she'll run off and chase the cows back in Margie Hale's field. So, which sometimes they just let her take her chance with them. But she was coming out of our house the other night, or other morning rather. It wasn't daylight, and so she was just sneaking over toward this chair that Amy had put out there in a little mulch spot. And so she thought it was something that was invading her territory. I thought it was too. I went back in and said, "Well, you're on your own, dog. Get it. You have at it." But they were limited in what they could see. And so as the scripture here, now we have the beautiful chance to look back at when Christ did come, as Peter was giving these words. They were limited on what they could see, but now we get to see it full. Get to see through a veil darkly, but then now we get to see. And so we look and see that they were limited. But I want you to look down at verse number 12, and I'll get to the application to in just a moment, what we can take home with us. But verse number 12, it shows that we're the benefactors of what these prophets foretold ahead of time. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, it wasn't going to happen during their lifetime. Maybe they didn't know that at that point, but it wasn't going to happen during their lifetimes. But unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Can you imagine living your life as a prophet? And you're in God's will, you're doing God's work, and there's not something that you're missing along the way, but all of your work is preparatory work. It reminds me of David when he wanted to build the temple. He went to Nathan, and Nathan said, "That sounds like a great idea to me, go for it." But then God visited Nathan in the night and said, "Don't tell that guy, he ain't going to do it." And then he goes back and says, "You can't do it, you're a bloody man and you can't." And so it's... Then it turned from that situation where David said, "Okay, if I can't be a temple builder, I'm going to be a man builder. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make sure that my son has all the supplies. I'm going to equip him so that he can do it." And so it's almost that same fashion with these prophets. They got to do all the work. They labored when God wanted to labor. They wrote what God wanted to write. They did what they were supposed to do, yet they didn't get to experience any of it. I think many times about like a parent. A parent labors, and moms really labor, bring them into the world, but they labor and they pay and they pay and they pay and they pay and they pay. When do y'all quit paying? Ours are not old enough to quit, I don't think yet, but they pay and they pay and they do all that so that somebody else can enjoy. Well, that's like much like the prophets. They labored, they prophesied, but the scripture says here in verse number 12, that it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister. So Jeremiah, Isaiah, these prophets were ministering to you and to me, although we never met them, and nor did they meet us. They minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel. So we see that Isaiah was partnering in ministry with Peter. Isaiah prophesied, but now Peter is preaching. Jeremiah prophesied, but the apostles are preaching, and so they partnered together. And so it's a privilege to live now so that we see the valleys in between the mountains of when Calvary was, and we can't see all the way to when Jesus will set his feet on the Mount of Olives, but we know through Scripture how it's going to play out. And Isaiah, Jeremiah, they suffered ridicule and distress, and they did all of that for what? So that we could receive what we're getting tonight. It's a wonderful working of God. It'd be like that game show that you like. I don't know which one it is, but one of them that comes to mind is that Wheel of Fortune, you know, where Vanna White turns over those letters. And I've been watching it for a long time, except I did see a clip of one. She don't even turn over the letters anymore. I think she just touches them. Maybe she's not even doing it any longer. I don't know. Is she? Boy, she's got to be getting up there, because I know I was watching when I was a kid. But you ever notice, I can see that board and it can have all the letters turned over, but just a couple. And I'm thinking, what in the world is that? And after that lady turns over two or three more, I was like, oh, anybody can get that. Well, yeah, anybody can get it after it's all clear right in front of your face. And that's the way I feel like some of these prophecies are. And to us, they're living right now. We're seeing things unfold. And I'm talking to even people who aren't churchgoers. But they even know that something kind of biblical is going on. They're talking to people, they say, I don't know about all that stuff, but it sounds like something in the Bible. And it's coming clear and clear, because if we're going back to that Wheel of Fortune analogy, more letters are being turned over all the time. Back when Jeremiah was given it, back when Isaiah was given it, back when these prophecies were delivered from God, people would have had to say, well, I have no clue how that will turn out. But now we preach the same thing the prophets did. There's just more light shined on the subject matter. And so what a wonderful time to live. I'm tired of us, and I do it too, so I'm not criticizing. I'm tired of us saying, oh, this is a bad time to live, all that's going on. It's a great time to live. If you can't tell somebody now that you're working with and they have just even a remote knowledge of anything in the Bible, if you can't tell them now that you're going to have to get ready for Jesus to come back, if you can't tell them that now, you ain't ever going to be able to tell them. Because God set this whole stage up that even people who aren't religious are scratching their head and want some answers about some things. And so we see that we preach the same thing the prophets did. It's just that we see it a lot clearer now. And then we see that at the end of that verse, number 12, it says, which things the angels desire to look into. Different commentators said, well, not argued, but gave different points of what that means. Maybe it means the angels are up there wondering why we don't get busy with stuff since we have all this information. Or perhaps that the angels would love to know more about redemption because that's not something that they're in the knowledge of like we are. It all fits so nicely with what was given in the Old Testament to now what's plainly spelled out here. Some people say, man, it's a mess. Some things don't go together. Oh, no, they go together. It's all fit together. As one person said, that the world is not falling apart, it's just falling into place. And these prophecies that were given in old time are now unfolding and they're coming forth. Let me give you this one just thought or an illustration as I was trying to get ready for tonight. You think of Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7. The Bible says that every eye shall see Him when He comes. Can you imagine even in more recent history, but especially when God gave that to John and John was writing it and giving it to those early Christians, and then over the next couple of centuries, every eye shall see Him. How could that be? I've read references to old commentators who thought that perhaps Jesus would come down so slow that the world would revolve and that people would be able to see Him. And they weren't God deniers. They were Bible believers. But they said maybe, perhaps, something like that. They just didn't know. But then with the invention, of course, decades and decades ago of television, then people said, oh, yeah, well, I could see how that would happen. At least they would replay that tape back in the over and over again, but now it's come even clearer. They won't replay coverage that was happening some hours ago. It'll be broadcast live, could be broadcast live, so that everybody with a TV, and then you say, well, a lot of people don't have TVs. You don't even need a TV anymore. Just pull the phone out of your pocket. And live events could be broadcast there. We can easily see how every eye will see Him. So as we take a few things home tonight, here's what I wanted to remind you of. If those Old Testament saints were expected to hold fast, Jeremiah, when you read about him and he's the one that said, I quit, hang it, I'm done, I ain't going to preach no more in his name or something like that. That's the John's paraphrase. I'm done. I ain't going to do it no more. He was tired of getting hammered for proclaiming. And he's the one that said, but then the word was like a fire in my bones. I couldn't but speak it out. So if those Old Testament prophets, they didn't know all that you know, and they did not know all of the prophecies that have even unfolded already, but they can't see what we can see, that they were commanded to be faithful. It was true in that day as it is in this day that God wanted people to be faithful in their commission that God gave them. So if they were supposed to be faithful, and they didn't have all the knowledge that we have the privilege of having today, what are we supposed to do? If they were commanded to be faithful, then you better believe that we ought to be faithful. As you see a believer that comes to Christ early in life, and they're happy about the fact that they're saved. We talked to some young people today that got saved recently and talking about they were so happy to invite Christ in their life. And you talk about them, they've got all their life to live. And Jesus means everything to them. But one thing that I noticed as people come up on through their 20s and 30s and 40s and the 50s, and then age takes their toll, and then maybe their parents leave them, and then different friends depart, and all of these things start shaking out. And the faith that was very, very important to them early in life now becomes more than very important. It becomes their essence. It becomes everything to them because now they realize how futile this world is and how senseless it is to try to hang on to what's going on in this world. And they realize all that matters is Jesus. Well, much like that same reasoning, as those prophets could have prophesied, did prophesy about what would happen, and they were commanded by God to be faithful. May we, as God's timetable has continued to click off, may we be like that older saint of God that says, I used to love Jesus, but now, oh my, he's everything to me. May those Old Testament saints, those prophets, those Old Testament faithful servants of the Lord, may their fervency, may we make their fervency look even a little immature because of what we see in our day, and let us stand fast. Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so my take home for all of us tonight is this: if they could do it with their limited knowledge, such a dark glass between them and the events that they were prophesying, and now we can see how it's all lining up. They were going by more faith than we are, because we can see how it truly would happen. We haven't seen it all yet. But may our faith be strong because we see it so close. And I'm challenging every Christian in this room to put your foot down, claim your ground, and say, it cannot be long. I want to stand until the Lord comes to get me, either in the rapture or death. I want to be faithfully serving Him. If they could do it with their limited knowledge, then certainly we can stand with all that we see happening around us. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Lord, I pray that you would make this real to us. Unto whom it was revealed, you said about your prophets, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things. Lord, they were ministering to us, even though we weren't even thought of by anybody but you. And now we've got faithful people preaching. And dear Lord, may we stand fervent in that message, realizing that we need to be faithful stewards, faithful standers, until you come and get us, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with us? If God has spoke to your heart, the ladies will play something through. And if God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're like me. I want to commit to the Lord tonight. But Lord, I want to stand faithful to you. Those prophets of old spoke by faith, spoke by inspiration, not knowing much of what they spoke in many instances. But now, it's coming clearer and clearer. Actually, it's coming clearer every day, folks. May we do, as we already sang, turn our eyes upon Jesus. Maybe you're a young couple in this room tonight. We're going to need you to be that replacement for the faithful, seasoned saint that's going to go on to heaven. We're going to need some faithful people to raise their children and have them in church and see them be saved. Send them to church camp. Send them to Bible school. Help us in Bible school. You say, what does all that have to do with any of this? Well, we do those things because we see what's coming down. What the prophets foretold is happening in front of our eyes, and it ought to make us get busy. Thank you so much. You can be seated. We've got a few minutes left. In just a moment, I'm going to have Brother Danny Jenkins come up and share a few things from the deacons. But I told you this morning I want to share one item with you. And so I'm going to call our business meeting to order. And so here we are as we gather together. You've noticed the Lord allowed us to remodel this auditorium. We're so thankful for what He's given us to worship here in.